Next item on the agenda, Lawson Property Conveyance. Please hang on, Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham.
Commissioner, members of the commission, we have two conveyances to present to you today. As you'll see in the briefings, they're adjacent parcels that were granted to two separate entities, Sciola and Lawson, and S&M Main Group. They were both authorized by the same Act of Assembly in 2007, Chapter 875. So as a result, you'll see duplicate slides, I guess, in the two briefings. I'm not quite sure whether the interests will be merged, and so I think it's better to go through them separately and render individual decisions, although one is necessarily connected to the other. Ms. Lawson is the first that I'm presenting to you, and her counsel, Mr. Lawrence Cumming, with the law firm of Kaufman & Knowles, is here, and I'm sure we'll want to offer, you know, his comments. But as you'll see on the slide, during the 2007 General Assembly session, the legislature authorized the conveyance of 22,400 square feet, approximately 0.5 acres, of previously filled state-owned submerged land to Ms. Iola Lawson. Coincidentally, this was also the same General Assembly session that created or passed Chapter 879 Acts of Assembly, which created sections 28.2-1200.1, which is in page 149 of your code book, and you may want to address that. So it was coincidentally or at the same time as the law was amended to provide the commission with a basis and rationale for calculating what that property right interest was. However, you'll also note that this bill, 875, was amended to basically have the same sort of provisions, you know, that we'll touch on. But basically, we're looking at the property, which is in this area at the mouth of Hampton Creek. A little bit closer, you'll see that the Iola L. Lawson property is to the north, and the next parcel, the S&S Marine Group, will deal with this section. Both of them are at the end of Ivy Home Road. This is an 1892 map, again, depicting Ivy Home Road. And what's interesting here is you'll see that at the time, there probably was a marsh. There's a small little pier that goes across to that marsh island that may have had some upland areas. There was also another pier to obtain navigable water, but there certainly was a period of a portion of the upland property back in 1892. As part of the conveyance, the Lawsons submitted a bill which basically showed or depicted the mean low water line. Now, what's interesting here is this mean low water depicted in red is, as was indicated on a 1970 plat in the clerk of the court in Hampton, as well as the parcel of property as it currently exists today. So filling occurred subsequent to 1970. I mean, we're not dealing with lawfully filled areas under the new code that predate 1960. This is relatively recent fill. However, as I said, the General Assembly at the same session that they were giving you those guidance as to what constitutes lawfully filled authorized this. So I don't think that's really germane to this particular question. But according to the bill and according to the survey, the area of filled land is, as I indicated, 22,400 square feet. The upland parcel, what's referred to as parcel one on the plat, is an area of 12,258 square feet, or 0.28 acres. Now, you'll see in both the Chapter 875 as well as 28.2-1200 that there's a mechanism to evaluate what percentage of the upland is filled versus upland property, and that has a bearing when you look at the average tax assessments. But the filled area in this case is 64.63% of the property. Chapter 875, as I said, it basically mirrors 28.2-1200, provides that the grantee shall compensate the Commonwealth in an amount commensurate with the property interest being conveyed. What is that? The General Assembly said, well, that's equivalent to the 25% of the assessed value, exclusive of any buildings and improvements. And again, that's a dimensionless figure. The 25%, you know, was picked, and the values, the assessed values that the local real estate companies, local real estate assessor is using, was just a reflection to try to pull in disparities between areas. In other words, assessed values of property in Norfolk and Virginia Beach is going to be higher than rural areas, but that relative value is captured by the 25%. They did say to use that value from the, I take that value from the real estate tax assessments for the preceding 10 years, and that if no assessments were particularly available, in other words, you might have a lot where 100% is filled, and you just take that assessment, but if no such assessment is available for the partial, there's a mechanism that you prorate it based on the square footage or acreage as a percentage of the larger parcel. As I said, this is in the bill, but it mirrors what was put in 28.2-1200. We also added another section, which is also in the law, that basically says the commission does have the authority to determine that unique circumstances exist and to lower that value somewhat less than the 25%, but that any such determination by the commission shall be justified in writing. That assessment, or that decision, is not, however, subject to judicial review. The last time you, and you've used to date these new procedures once before, and that's when you considered the conveyance to December Partners Limited LLC, which was done in December of 2007, which was the law became effective in July. You considered it in December, and you used the formula at that time and derived the 25%. But in going through both the 875 and 879, you look at the total area, which is the area of parcel one and the filled area combined. That's 34,658 square feet. The area being conveyed is 22,400, which is nearly 65% of the total upland area. The applicant or the grantee has provided 10 years of assessments. If you take those assessments, you come up with the 10-year average. The average for the entire parcel is $316,190.91. Exclusive of buildings or improvements. If you then take 64% of that, which is the area of today's $204,354.19, if you then apply the 25% formula for that, strictly by the formula, the amount that the staff would recommend based on that would be 50 for the conveyance of the property interest, would be $51,088.55. Council has provided a number of some information, which is in the packet before you, and I'm sure you will amplify in oral arguments. We'll attempt to set forth what he believes are unique circumstances that either warrant credit for his clients or would lead you to agree to a compensation rate less than 25%. Based on the information he submitted to staff, he will be asking you to approve the subject conveyance for an amount equal to $12,856.56. Again, as a reminder, several months ago you did receive a letter from the Secretary of Natural Resources which provided his feelings as to what would constitute unique circumstances. And you'll be able to consider those. That's basically the information that's been provided. I do have oversized for the actual original drawings. There's a letter in your packet as item 5 from Mr. Cumming dated June 27, 2008, which does go into detail. I've really tried to highlight what staff believes are the pertinent issues that are involved here. With that, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you might have on this one. And as I said, you'll see something similar, but it'll be related to the lower portion of the property, SS Marine, in the next briefing. If you think it would be advantageous to at least go through that, I can do that so that you're, that it's a complication of how to put the information.
Mr. Robbins.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Bob, can you comment on the Secretary's guidance as it relates to this case? Do any of the factors here
just a second, because I was going to clarify that. I'm going to let Mr. Josephson speak to it first, because I think it's very important. One very important part is, and Carl can speak to the meat of the subject, but Secretary Bryant, as my superior, as I recall in the directive to us, was very, very clear that these are his ideas. These are things that he thinks he may want to consider. These were not mandates. Right. So having said that...
He was clear that the ultimate decision rests with the commission.
Correct. Mr. Josephson.
Yes. Basically, I was going to say the same thing. And also, the commission took no action one way or the other as to adopt the entire letter as policy or pick and choose among the suggestions. So at this point, that is not anything official that needs to be considered. Nothing to preclude you from, because you can determine what unique circumstances are, nothing to preclude you from considering that if you so choose.
And if this letter specifically prompted you to believe that one is there, so be it. If not, so be it as well. Further follow-up, Mr. Robbins?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Question for Mr. Fox.
Yes. You indicated from one of the earlier drawings that there's evidence that the land was filled after 1970.
Well, the plats.
Right. Shows. Right. So.
The plat, and that is item number 6 in your commission packet. Depicts when they were determining the area of fill versus the area of uplands, a 1970 FEMA watermark that was recorded on a plat in the circuit court. So, if in 1970 parcel 1 FEMA water was as indicated in the red mark,
then they have to fill out them.
Yes, sometime subsequent to 1970. We have not attempted to research when it was done under what authority, because when the general
was it probably dredge spoil.
I have no idea. When the General Assembly approved it, it was there, and they authorized the conveyance of the underlying fee. So we know it occurred after 1970.
But we have no evidence whether it was legally or illegally filled.
It's immaterial. The legislature conveyed it, and
Mr. Josephson.
Have I suggested it may be immaterial from the standpoint of whether or not you convey it at 25% of the assessed value, but it may not be immaterial from your way of thinking with respect to whether or not to determine the unique circumstances exist.
Okay. Dr. McConaughey.
When did the current owners acquire the property?
Mr. Cumming can do that, but I don't believe it was back in the 40s.
They've had it a long time.
I believe the family has had it for a long time. The date just escaped.
It's not a recent purchase.
No, sir. And that'll be, I think, one of his arguments.
Mr. Fox.
Going back to the picture of the aerial photo, so the can you draw a line there on what the...
I'm not going to use that. Basically, you'll see there was a small conveyance that came up through here and came back down, and as you'll see in the S&S, the mean low watermark came down like this and came over, there's a parcel over here and a parcel over here that S&S Marine will be asking you to convey. But you're dealing here, if you look at Ivy Home Road,
right.
Which is coming in down here.
Yes.
This is the upland that's a part of owned by Iola L. Lawson. This is the area that is being conveyed.
Okay, but I was trying to go from the photograph. What's on the Commonwealth's land? What are those?
Yeah, picking Ivy Home Road, it appears that this above this line is the area that divides Lawson and S&S Marine.
Okay.
And that is the area of upland. This is an open pile. This is not fill. It's everything along in here that would be the fill property,
which would appear to be parking.
I believe it probably uses parking. I think some of these structures may have been raised. I'm not sure how it's being used, nor what the ultimate desire, the property is.
But they are using the property and have used the property for
yes.
some time.
Yes.
Okay. Further questions?
I believe it used to be about E.T. Lawson.
Great job explaining it, Bob. Mr. Cumming, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
I don't know whether you meet any of these.
That's it. Well, you were one of those. Yes, my name's...
You're Council Representative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Larry Cumming.
Are you... Councilor of the case, you're testifying to the facts but on... as represented by your client, correct?
Correct.
Nothing of your own volition.
Correct.
Thank you. Proceed.
May I approach and give you the document? Perhaps. And with that, we got started. This end, if I may.
Well, take care of it for you.
Thank you.
Sir.
This is just a summary. Excuse me. This is just a summary of the data that you have probably in your documentation. I would like to address two comments in particular. One, the... let's see. Let me get back to the one that... I'm sorry. Great. Let's go up to this very first, the matter. That'd be great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now I think of it. Okay. Yes, sir. I wanted to address this area marked in red as to when this was filled and so forth. This is a long-standing Milo water line that has been around since the 20s. It all derives, all the surveyors go back to this much, much earlier flat in the 20s. It does not attempt to represent to you that the fill above that red line occurred after 1970. That's just the last map that showed the mean low water line that existed back in the 20s or 30s. The filling took place during the 30s, 40s, and all that sort of stuff. That's not what is represented here. That's number one. Number two, the documentation is not in the excuse me, it's not in the documentation I've given you. However, the title, one of the questions was, how long has the current family owned this? They purchased it from the Hunts in November of 1965. And it was originally purchased by Mr. Lawson Jr., who is here, and his father, Mr. Lawson Sr., and through their various family transactions to each other. Mr. Lawson Sr. has passed away. Mr. Lawson Jr., who is here, his wife is Iola. They have done some estate planning between each other, transfers the property, but the family, the Lawson family, the same core Lawson family, has owned it since 1965. The information that we have provided you indicates, as Mr. Grab has indicated, that the strict calculation of 25%, and actually I could just tell you to skip to the last page of what I handed you, and you'll see that is $51,088.55. If you are willing to provide a credit to these owners for the real estate taxes that they have paid all through the years, that would be a credit of about $38,000, leaving a balance of about $12,800. I am aware of the Secretary's letter to you, Secretary Bryant, And some of the information that we have provided to you addresses some of the issues about how long, were they involved in the filling, is the government involved, have there been estate planning transfers, all of that addresses various items in his letter. But the summary of that, to some extent, is that his recommendation is that if you do consider any of these factors, that you not reduce the 25% by more than half. In other words, his sort of bottom line is think about whatever you want to think about, consider and balance whatever you want to balance, the facts of the particular case. But his recommendation is don't go below, in essence, 12.5% of that number. If you did that math, and I apologize, I have not done it for you, if you take 51,088.55 and just divide by 2, the lowest number that his recommendation would come to would be 25,544.28. So I recognize, I'm just giving you data for you to consider, 25,544.28. That, I believe, is all the information I have to provide to you. Happy to answer any questions, and I have Mr. Lawson here available to speak, and Mr. Allen, who is his son-in-law, who is also an operator. They do, in fact, operate the facility. It is P.T. Lawson that has been there for years and years and years.
Questions of legal counsel. Mr. Fox?
Are there any structures on the property that's owned by the Commonwealth?
There are some structures, but the predominant structures are on the original land. If I may just walk up here, if you don't mind.
Please. Speak loudly so they might pick you up.
Yes, sir. Actually, yes. I think some of the structures do encroach here. The structures that you saw from the photograph do probably encroach here. And there is predominantly parking in this area and not major structures. Yes. But that was the sense of your question.
Further question, Mr. Fox?
Yes. The land has been used by the Lawsons for a long time.
It has been. Continuously.
Further question, Mr. Tankard?
Excuse me. Let me make sure I'm square on this. What you're implying here is that, in fact, they've been taxed on state property since the 60s.
Correct.
And if so, why haven't they protested that at any point during that time?
They felt they owned it. And they felt they owned it up until very, very recently. When there was a proposed transaction to consider a sale or a business transaction involving the property, when someone did survey work, did title work, did various other things, that they have owned it so long that they never needed to do all that. So then all of a sudden someone came up to them and said, well, you know, there is this issue about how this old historic mean low water line back in the 20s shows where this was. And even though you've been occupying it since the 65 when you've owned it, and people before you may have occupied it, you may not own it.
Follow up, Mr. Tankard.
And the tax map and the description of the property is congruent with their belief?
That is correct. And in fact, I believe it in fact says they own a little bit more land than the most current survey says. And so, yes, the city believed they owned it. The city, of course, was interested in taxing them as much as they could, and so and they've been good taxpayers and they have paid the bill.
Further questions? I think and I've heard this explanation and I've seen this movement by Mr. Nolan so many times when he explains this, and I think it's important to pick up on a couple of items. The fill is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the subaqueous bottom that the fill sits on. City of Hampton, whomever can tax whatever they did, right, wrong, or indifferent. But what we are doing today is conveying a public trust, subaqueous bottom upon which this land, this fill resides upon. Keep in mind, the City of Hampton has been receiving the benefit of these tax dollars for low these many years. And whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent to your client, I'm not debating that. I'm just making an observation.
Yes, sir.
The question is, do you use this matrix of the City of Hampton receiving the benefit of the tax dollars when you're conveying a public trust owned by the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia? Do I think there's room for mitigation here? Absolutely, I do. I think Secretary Bryant was very, very prudent in his comments about I absolutely know less than half of it, half of the 25%. The question is, where in that matrix does it lie? And that's why that's where we rely on the wisdom of the commission to come up with what they deem to be fair value for the conveyance, because after all, we do want to convey the property. We're directed to convey the property, but we're directed to be protectors of the public trust as we convey this property at fair market. And that's all we're... the money does not go into our pocket personally. It goes into the coffers of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I think we have just as much of an obligation to be fair to this gentleman and his clients as we do to the citizens of the Commonwealth. How we get there is where we are now. The matter's before the commission. Mr.
Just one observation that although you have had one case before, you've got this case and another case with the same counsel, and you'll probably have a couple more next month. Remember that you're establishing precedent and policy, and to the extent that you will be hearing other cases, you'll need to be consistent with your policy or explain why you're diverging.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox.
I guess the way I look at this is this is property owned by the Commonwealth, and we are representatives of the Commonwealth. We are instructed to sell the property, and we have laws that set down how we should make those calculations. It would seem to me that, we have the laws. We cannot rewrite the laws. But I would argue that, first of all, taking 25% is a severe discount. Secondly, and this chart that Mr. Cumming gave us demonstrates it exactly, that over time there is an increasing value. So the average of that is far below the current value. So that's another discount that the Commonwealth is giving. And in this case, the Lawsons have had the use of this land for a number of years at no rental fee. They did pay property taxes. One could argue that maybe that was some sort of rental. And so I see, it seems to me that the law gives the applicant a significant advantage, and really I cannot justify any reason to give a law evaluation.
Is that a motion?
I would move we go with the staff recommendation of, was it $51,000? $51,088.55.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion on the motion? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While we're discussing policy precedent, I would just ask staff if there were any exemptions provided in the December partners case for the previous payment of real estate taxes to the municipality.
No, sir. The commission wasn't the 25%.
Thank you.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.